We're doing the Netivot Shalom on Parshat Tetzaveh, Vasita Bigdei Kodesh. The topic is, you will make holy clothing. The pasuk says, Vasita Bigdei Kodesh L'Aron Achicha, Lekadesho Lecha Anoli. You will make holy garments for Aaron, your brother. It will sanctify him and set him up as the priest for me. Amu Chazal, our sages taught, Lama Nismecha Parshat Korbanot LeParshat Bigdei Kuna. Why was the parsha of the sacrifices written adjacent to the parsha of the garments of the kohen? Lomar lecha, to teach you, makorbanot mechaperin, just as sacrifices atone, af bigdei kuna mechaperin, so too the garments that the kohen wears, they too atone. Ktonet, the shirt that he wears, mechaperet al shfichut tamim, that atones for murder. Michnasayim, the pants that he wears, mechaperim al gilui arayot, they atone for illicit relationships. Mitznefet, the hat that he wears, mechaperet al gasei ruach, that atones for haughtiness. Avnet mechaper al iru alev, the belt, that atones for improper thoughts. Ephod, the apron that he wears, mechaper al avodah zarah, that atones for idol worship. Tzitz mechaper al azut metzach, the ornament that he wears on his forehead, that slither of gold, that atones for brazenness. So this is all in the Gemara. This isn't the Netivot Shalom. V'lechora, al derech shebe'aru, lama nismecha parashat korbanot leparashat bigdei kuna. At first glance, it would seem, just as our sages explained, why these two parashiyot are adjacent, ro'i lever gam lama nismecha parashat menorah leparashat bigdei kuna. We should also explain the parasha that follows the garments of the kohen. Why is it that right after the description of his clothing, the Torah tells us about lighting the menorah? Good question, yeah. Ken tzrich biyur, so too we have to explain. Delefi ma she'ole midivrei chazal, what comes out of what our sages said, elu bigdei kuna mechaperim al inyanim hachamurim biyoter. It turns out that the garments of the Kohanim atone for the weightiest crimes. Even on idol worship, illicit relationships, murder, those are the weightiest sins in the Torah. And what does the verse say? Make garments for Aaron, your brother, to sanctify him as a priest for me. The pasuk seems to say the purpose of the garments is for extra holiness. So how do our sages get from one to the other? We can explain based on what Tosfos says over there in the Gemara in Erechin. When our sages say that the garments atone, let's say, for murder, it doesn't literally mean a guy lifted a sword and murdered his friend. Ela shelbim pnei chavero barabim. But it means he shamed him publicly. Our sages say you shame someone publicly, it's as though you killed him. So Tosfos goes through each one and he says, don't take it literally. You can't get atonement for murder through the Kohen's shirt. That's not going to work. Ve'ainu she'ikara kapara shel bigdei kuna eina averot befoal. Meaning the essence of atonement that the garments give is not for active sin. But you could take an example from three of them. One is haughtiness. Two is improper thoughts. Three is brazenness. You see, it's ideas of what type of people we are, what type of traits we have. And then you have to apply the same idea to the weightier sins that are mentioned there in the Talmud. Hainu hapgamim b'inyanei midot. Because certain areas, when a person has traits that are improper, so then it reflects, it connects to the prohibition of idol worship, illicit relationships, murder. For example, a person doesn't care to shame someone else publicly, our sages say that's like killing him. You stand in front of everyone and you say, I remember when. We all know those feelings. And corresponding to that, Hashem gave us garments for the Kohen. Bigdei Kodesh, holy garments, lekadesho lecha anoli. They sanctify the kohen. They set him up as Hashem's kohen. Lechnis kedusha. What the garments of the kohen do is they suffuse holiness bechol komato shel yehudi, throughout a Jewish person. Meaning the kohen gadol is connected to all of us. He's representing all of us. When he stands there and does his service, he does service on behalf of everyone. He's part of our representation in the Beit HaMikdash. And so the clothing that he wears not only affect him, but they affect us. And we really have to be holy people from the bottom of our toe to the top of our head. But that's not so easy. Sometimes we have chutzpah. Sometimes we have improper thoughts. Sometimes we say things we shouldn't say. Comes the Torah and says, okay, the Kohen Gadol is going to wear clothing that sanctify him. And those clothing will suffuse holiness to him, and then it works the other way, from him down. Just as he's representing all of us moving forward, so too the holiness that comes to him is going to affect us. The clothing he wears sanctify, they give holiness to all his limbs, every part of his body. So that's really what the pasuk says. The clothing for the kohen are lekadesho lechahanoli, to give him holiness, to be a priest before me, lekdusha yetira, this excessive holiness. Shene mechaprim al chatayim befoal. These garments don't atone for any act of sin, ela mekadshim umetarim et kol evarav shel yehudi. But rather they give sanctity, they give purity to all of the limbs of a Jewish person. Just like you look at the Ten Commandments. Does it say it in plural form? Hashem is speaking to 2 million people. Does it say, I am Hashem, your, multiple, Anochi Hashem Elokeichem, I am your God? No. Singular sense. Hashem is talking to each individual. Does it say, you in the plural sense should not have other gods? Does it say, you in the plural sense should honor your fathers? No. Individual. Kabeid esavicha ve'esimecha. You should all watch the Sabbath? No, you the individual. Shamorat yom ha-shabbat. All the Ten Commandments were said in the singular sense. Lo tirtzach, lo tignov. You shouldn't murder. Individual. You shouldn't steal. Da'inu lekol echad mi'Yisrael lefi yorko madrigato. The Ten Commandments were set to every Jew on his level. Da'af etzel anshei ma'ala gdolim biyoter she'ach pgam shebadaka min hadaka. You and I would say, we think of murdering. Hashem has to tell us not to murder? You have to realize there are levels in this prohibition not to murder. Part of not murdering is not shaming someone publicly, not spilling his blood. Yeah, when a person gets shamed so the blood spills from his face, that's also called spilling his blood. We have to know that each of us has an element where we can connect to the prohibition. Don't murder, don't steal. On some level. Maybe it's because I use my neighbor's internet, his wireless, when I don't ask him. Maybe it's something, you know, it's small, but it's relevant. Maybe I took an extra portion at supper tonight, and so the guy who came last didn't have one. ועל פי זה יש לבאר את סדר הפרשה, כמבואר שכל חלקי ופרטי המשכן היו מאירים ומתאורים יהודי בכל מייניו. And based on this, we can understand the order of the parsha. As we've explained, that every segment of the Mishkan gave light, gave purity to a Jew. In every aspect, the Mishkan was there to give light to us. In our parsha, the Torah begins with the lamp. When we had the menorah, when we had that lamp burning in the temple, it gave light to all of us. The holy works, the works of Hasidut, they say, the light of the menorah came from the hidden light. You guys know that when Hashem created the world, He created it with a light that would allow a person to see from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. And then Hashem said, it's going to be misused by humanity. So Hashem hid that light. And then the sages say that the light on the menorah took some of that hidden light. We were left with a minuscule sun.
What do you mean, see from outside the world?
Ah, that I can't explain. It's a good question. Well, in a physical sense, it's giving us the idea that there was this light that enabled us to see beyond distances. Being that it is a spiritual light, so then it seems that it's not to be taken literally. but rather it would give us insights that we wouldn't be limited by time and space. That today, what we see is based on time and space, right?
And
I don't think it was a time machine, it was the capacity to perceive things outside the system we're in. Meaning everything we think about is what we're familiar with. We think hot, cold, pleasant, unpleasant, tasty, not tasty. We think within a framework. And when we try to think of the world to come, for example, we don't understand what it means to have a soul without a body. What kind of pleasure does a soul have? We don't understand it. So we can only grasp things that are within our dimensions. And perhaps this light gave us the capacity to see beyond the dimensions we're in. So the light of the menorah was some of the godly light that Hashem created on that first day. And then Hashem said that this world isn't ready for this. I'm going to hide it for the righteous in the world to come. That light was revealed in the lamp of the menorah. And that light would purify and give light to every individual soul. It's like the light of the soul. So first the Torah tells us about the menorah, then the Torah tells us about the garments of the Kohen. As we explained, the garments would give sanctity to every part of the body. The eight garments the Kohen Gadol wore would encompass every part of the body. So they would suffuse the human body. Every one of us would be affected with the holiness and purity of the clothing. Because each limb connects to certain mitzvot. How many mitzvot do we have? 613, which are divided into 248 active commandments, 365 prohibitions. 248 corresponding to the limbs in the human body. Meaning, there are mitzvos that are relevant to every limb of the body, and there are mitzvos that are relevant to every day of the year.
Are all these mitzvos stated in the Torah?
Yes. We have books that delineate the 613. On Friday, we learn 15 mitzvot every Friday. So during the course of the year, we finish all 613. So the Torah gave us mitzvos that are relevant to every limb. You could do mitzvos with your pinky. One could do sins with the pinky. Every limb of the body can do a mitzvah and an avera. And the garments were there to suffuse every limb with the holiness. V'lachen nismechu parshat amnorah parshat bigdei kuna. Parshat HaKorbanot, that's why these three parshiot were together. Shinyan kulam, because they all share one idea, lechaper liYisrael veltaharam mikol hapgamim, to provide atonement and holiness from all kinds of blemishes. Hamnora, heiret hanshama, the menorah gave light to the soul. Bigdei kuna, tiarut evrei haguf, the garments purified the limbs of the body, liot kodesh kodashim, to be most holy. HaKorbanot, so then finally you have the sacrifice. Who shayuk ma'amar chazal? They were like our sages taught us. Tamid shel shachar mechaper al avirot shel laila. The Gemara says the Midrash says a fantastic idea. Every morning there was a sacrifice brought. Corresponding to that sacrifice, we say shachris, right? That would atone for all the sins of the night. Tamid shel ben arba'im. Then another sacrifice was brought in the afternoon. Mechaper al avirot shel hayom, to atone for all the sins of the day. So every day you had the night being atoned for every morning, the morning, the day being atoned for every afternoon. So the sacrifices were the ultimate connection to Hashem. And let's notice that the connection is stressed with the idea that you could wipe away the sin. Look at how the Torah gives us the capacity to come close. And the Torah repeatedly reminds us that Hashem doesn't expect perfection. On the contrary, Hashem expects that we will falter and then pick ourselves up. We have korbanot. We have this idea repeated from the first parsha of the Torah. The Torah repeatedly trains us. Hashem does not expect perfection. He expects you to get up after you fail. He expects you to do better next time. Yeah?
What is the purpose of? What is the purpose of creating
get up again as opposed to having, if the whole idea is the worship or service of Hashem, then why create such a faltering, send it back to the shop, lemon of a human being? Why create a Pinto when you could create a Cadillac?
So that is an idea that we will see throughout this Sefer. This is one of the themes that he repeats over and over again, that Hashem said, I want a Mishkan, I want a resting place down below. Meaning Hashem had as many angels as he wanted. He didn't need perfect automatons, he didn't need these robots, angels as holy as they are. For whatever reason, Hashem said, what I want is the human being, with his foibles and his weaknesses, to contend with them and overcome them and make the world, the worldly world, a holy place. Take a human being with his weaknesses and take him and let him bring holiness to the world. Yes, perfect creatures, there are plenty of them up there. You don't need them down here. Down here, Hashem said the whole purpose is let them down here contend with the world and make the world into a holy place.
So if he doesn't need any more Malachim, then doesn't us.
So that's what he says.
What is the need? I guess I'm saying, what is the need of having human beings? What good does it do a God that has no need, lack of anything?
So this goes back to a general class, which really we've had, and I'll try to answer it in short. There are two levels to this question. Meaning, on one level, I always say it's like walking with a three-year-old. Two three-year-old children reach a stage where everything you do, they ask you, why? So you say, we have to leave now. And they'll say, why? And you'll say, because we have to get the gun. And you'll say, and they'll say, why? And you'll say, because that's where you play. And they'll say, why? And you'll say, because you're 2 years old and you need other children to play with. And they'll say, why? And you'll say, because you want to grow up to be a healthy person and learn how to deal with society and learn how to play. And they'll say, why? You're going to say, because that's the way the world is, that people want to communicate with other people and they have to learn those skills at your age. And the kid will say, why? And at some point, it's just a question of when, you're going to reach a point where you say, because that's how Hashem created the world. And they're going to continue and say, why? Now what are you going to say? You're gonna tell them, put on your gloves. And they'll say, why? And you'll say, because it's cold outside. And they'll say, why? And you'll say, well, you don't want your hands to be cold. And they'll say, why? And you'll say, because it's uncomfortable to be cold. And they'll say, why? And then you're going to say, because Hashem created the world that way. I mean, you could go on. You could explain about heat and cold and the absence of heat. But at some point, you're going to reach there, right? Any question in the world, if you ask enough whys, you get to the answer, well, that's how Hashem created the world. And then you're going to keep asking why. Right? So I actually came to this realization in conversation with my two-year-old many years ago. After the first one, you learn very fast that it's pointless. You just got to say, that's the way the world is, that's why Hashem created it, and fine. But it is an interesting point that everything comes back to that. And then you're going to say, why did Hashem create this world? So we have to understand that there are two levels to this question. The first level is what we might call an absolute truth level, which we don't understand God. Go figure, why did Hashem create this world? And whatever answer you're going to give is going to be problematic, because Hashem isn't missing anything, so then why create a world? Oh, so there is another level, which is perhaps not any less true, but it doesn't really tackle the question at its core, and that is the level that Chazal answered on, which is, what should be my perspective as to why Hashem created the world? Maybe those are two different questions. You want to ask me absolutely, why did Hashem create the world? How could I have an idea? You want to ask me, well, what perspective am I supposed to have? Why did God create this world? Is it part of a sadistic plot? Is it because, like Chazal told us, no, Hashem wanted to benefit us. Hashem wanted us to have the capacity to do things well, to make the world move forward, to do mitzvot, to move forward ourselves in this world, to grow in this world. Ah, okay, so that's the perspective I'm supposed to have on this world, and that's the perspective I'm supposed to have on God. Now, did I answer question number one? Maybe yes and maybe no. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the best I can do. Okay, we have one long paragraph left. Should we go for it or leave it for Wednesday? What's the vote?
Go for it.
Go for it? Okay. Ubchina ze yeshno gam b'Shabbat Kodesh. And this aspect also exists in the Holy Shabbos. Kmo shanu umrim b'tfilat ribon kol olamim. We say it in the prayer, ribon kol olamim, when we light Shabbos candles, we say, ki hidlakti neirotai vehitzati mitati. Vehechelafti simlotai lichvod Hashabbos. You guys know the song? I lit my candles. I made my bed. I changed my garments in honor of Shabbos. Again, what do we say? Lit my candles like the menorah. Changed, made my bed, changed my garments. Changed my garments like the Kohen. And made my bed. Well, the idea is that the intimacy between a couple that's supposed to happen on Friday night represents the Shechina, represents the connection where Hashem's presence is there. So we have these aspects in the Shabbos too. The Shabbat Kodesh is Prinat Oram Norah. On the Holy Shabbos, we have this aspect of the light of the menorah. Kedita bebal haturim ala pasuk la'alot ner tamid. The Baal HaTurim points out, it says we should have a consistent light in the Mishkan or in the Beit HaMikdash, and the Baal HaTurim points out the gematria of the word Ner Tamid equals the Shabbos. On Shabbos is where we have a consistent light. We have that light that represents it. Uviyalkut Shimoni ita ala pasuk el mul pnei menorah yeiru shivat hanerot. In the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni, he quotes on the pasuk that the seven lights should all face towards the center of the candelabra. He quotes a medrash, you have seven lamps, they seven branches, right? Center and six, three on each side. They correspond to the 6 days of creation. So then, the lamp represents the Shabbos. The 7 days of creation culminating with the Shabbos. So what do we say? All the lights focus in on the lamp. Hashabbat Kodesh Meirat Kol Shivat Hayamim. That's the idea that the days of the week are all nourished from the day of Shabbos. V'zehu ma shamru chazal. That's what our sages said. Shekasher hikrivu hanisim et korbanotem lachanukat hamizbeach. All the different leaders of each tribe, the Nisi'im, the princes, they each brought their sacrifice for the dedication of the altar. Aaron felt bad. His tribe, the Levites, they didn't bring a sacrifice. Yours is bigger than theirs. Yours will last forever. That seems difficult. What was Hashem telling him? The menorah didn't last forever. The menorah ceased to exist with the destruction of the temple. The idea is that holiness is there every Shabbos. I don't know who he's quoting here. I guess. That eternal light keeps showing up in our home. The eternal light of the menorah has its representation every Shabbos when we light our Shabbos candles. Shabbat Kodesh Meira Nishmat Yehudi. The Holy Shabbos lightens the soul of a Jew. Kmodi Amrinan HaShabbat Noam HaNeshamot. It says Shabbos is the pleasantness of the soul. Think about it. What do you think about when you think of Shabbos? Ask the average kid to draw a picture of Shabbos. They draw challahs, they draw Shabbos candles. Shabbos candles. So technically Shabbos candles are just there so you have light, Shabbos. No, there's much more to it. And just as in the Mishkan, directly following the idea of a lamp, it says what clothing Aaron should wear. Kach b'Shabbat Kodesh, yesh p'chinat zo shel b'gdei Kodesh. On Shabbos also we have this idea, where our clothing should be holier. שלאחר והדלקתי נרותיי, אומרים החלפתי סמנותיי. That's what we say. I lit my candles, I changed my clothing. כעניין בגדי שבת, שהם בגדי קודש, המתארים את כל עבריו של יהודי, because the idea of the clothing we wear on Shabbos is that those clothing also affect us. They make us holier. בכדי שיוכל להיכנס לשבת קודש ולקבל תורה. And they help us be able to enter the Shabbos and accept the light of Shabbos. מיינו שגם בשבת קודש יש בחינת אור הנשמה ויש בחינת טהרת האיברים על ידי בגדי השבת. Because Shabbos also has that aspect of a special light and a special purity of our bodies. וכמו שסיפר מרן אדמו בבא זיה על הרב הקדוש רבי נחום מצ'רנובל זכותו יגן אלינו, the story was told of Rav Nachum from the city of Chernobyl, שפעם אחת צעק שאינו מרגיש שבת קודש באחד מרגליו. He once yelled out, he said, one of my feet, I don't feel Shabbos in that foot. והיה מוטרד מאוד מזה, and he felt terrible. He said, I feel Shabbos in my whole body except for one foot. What's wrong? עד שנתבר כי בטעות לבש גרב של חול. So he started looking around to figure out what went wrong, and then he discovered that he forgot to change the sock on that foot. So we laugh at that, right? No. והיינו כאמור שבגדי שבת מכניסים קדושה ביהודי, and that's because the clothing affect the person. The clothing of Shabbos make us have a holier Shabbos, just like the clothing of the Kohen Gadol affected him. וזהו פירוש שלך קיים לעד. That's what Hashem told Aaron. Your donation will last forever. על ידי קדושת השבת המקדשת את הנשמה ומקדשת את כל האיברים. Through the holiness of Shabbos that sanctifies the soul and all the limbs. So what do we see here today? Hashem tells him to make holy clothing. We said each of the clothing bring atonement for a different sin. We asked how could it be that a garment will atone for murder? We quoted the Tosfos that it doesn't literally mean murder. It means sins that are of a more refined nature. It's not that he actively went and murdered someone, but that he said something that hurt their feelings, embarrassed them publicly. So that's the idea, that the clothing suffuse the Kohen Gadol and then affect all of us to a different level of holiness. And through that, we can become better people. Just as the lamp of the menorah, the light of the menorah affects us. And just as that affected us in the Mishkan, so do we have that effect today when we light the candles in honor of Shabbos. As he pointed out, the Baal HaTurim says, Ner Tamid is the gematria of Bishabbat. And we are also affected when we change our clothing on Shabbos, we become holier people and we become more prepared to accept the holiness of Shabbat.